You come to this program because you want to know principled truth. You come to this program because you know I am not influenced by any third party in what I think and what I believe. And so we're going to take a look at this so-called ceasefire deal and draw our own conclusions without all the press releases, all the patting on the back. It's not even completed as far as Israel's concerned through their process. All the misleading media and so forth and so on. I start with a few premises. I trust President Trump. That doesn't mean we'll always agree, but I trust President Trump. And when he texted me after he won the Republican primary, unsolicited by me, he said, "I want you to know, Mark, quote, I will protect Israel." I trust Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, who's been the greatest prime minister in the history of Israel, and has done more to protect that country than one can imagine, from foreign enemies and domestic enemies and the Biden administration. They're not the only parties involved in this. I do not trust Hamas, a terrorist organization. I despise it. I do not trust Qatar, a terrorist organization dressed up as a country that has given aid and comfort, billions of dollars to Hamas, that gave safe haven to Hamas leaders, and now is one of the leading mediators in this so-called ceasefire peace deal. And what is a peace deal? What is a piece of paper to a terrorist organization? It's nothing. I do not trust Biden and Blinken under any circumstances in any deal, because they've sold out our country to the communist Chinese. They've sold out Israel to Iran. And they've created horrendous, horrendous inhumanity throughout the world. And they have blood on their hands. Blood on their hands. I find it interesting that even some of my friends are saying that under this deal, hundreds of Palestinian prisoners will be released. No, 3,000 will be released, not hundreds. It's right there in print. 3,000 terrorists, including convicted murderers. Would we do that? You don't know my conclusion yet. I'm going, taking you through the steps of my thinking. Would we release 3,000 terrorists for any reason? When we released, or should I say the Biden regime released, was it 3? Al-Qaeda terrorist leaders from Guantanamo Bay, secretly without consulting Congress? Were we not furious? How about 3,000? Seems a little bit on the high side, don't you think? The hostages. They've been through holy hell. Those that have survived. And we want them out too. The IDF soldiers, almost 1,000 of them, have died. It's an enormous number for a tiny country. They have died for the purpose of defeating Hamas, for the purpose of ridding Hamas from the Gaza Strip, for the purpose of protecting Israel. From today forward, young men and women have put their lives on the line. From the streets of Israel and every walk of life, they have died. Did they die for this? Or did they die to destroy Hamas? Serious questions, don't you think? And right out of the box, Biden talks about this sets the foundation for a Palestinian state. And I do fear that there are people whispering President Trump's ears who promote the same thing. A Palestinian state. I know their names, but I will save that for another day. But I have to believe President Trump himself knows better. He's given no indication that he does support such a thing. That is a red line. That is a red line. I've gone through this deal, which is not in writing, which is not finalized to the extent it's available in the Jerusalem Post. So let's go through it together. According to reports, the agreement will include supervision by Qatar, a terrorist nation, and Egypt, of the return of refugees from the southern Gaza Strip to the north, and simultaneously the withdrawal of the IDF from the Nazirim corridor will be completed in stages. Hamas demanded that the mediators determine the time frame in which the IDF will withdraw. Using a timetable, Joe Biden said that the foundations of the deal have been proposed as early as June 2024. So there's phases. Phase one. The first phase of the deal will last 42 days, and implementation of the agreement will begin 2 or 3 days after its signing. When a terrorist organization signs a piece of paper, ladies and gentlemen, do they feel an obligation to comply with it? The IDF will withdraw from the Nazirim corridor in all populated areas of the enclave to about 700 meters from the border, except in 5 specified areas where it will be 400 meters. The IDF will reportedly reduce its presence in the Philadelphia corridor. This is key. That's the corridor through which Hamas has been armed. And then withdraw from it completely over the course of the first 50 days. I was told that wasn't going to happen. But yet this is written here. Israel agreed to open the Rafah border crossing a week after the agreement is implemented, and the agreement will include a protocol regarding humanitarian aid during the first phase under the supervision of the mediators. Israel is expected to begin preparations to begin the movement of aid through the crossing immediately. Look at all the obligations Israel has here. Israel will open the crossing to civilians after the release of all the women, both civilians and soldiers, from Hamas's captivity. God help us on what they're going to tell us what's been done to them. All wounded and 6 Palestinian civilians will be allowed to leave through Rafah crossing following its reopening to civilians. Hamas will be permitted to transfer 50 wounded operatives. I don't know what that is. Are those terrorists? To Egyptian hospitals each day. However, each operative is subject to approval by both Israel and Egypt. The crossing will remain jointly operated by Israel and Egypt. Israel will begin allowing unarmed refugees to return to the north of Gaza Strip on foot, subject to searches in the first week. Following the first week, unarmed refugees on foot will be permitted to return to the north without search via the coastal Al-Rashid Street. 2 weeks later, they'll be permitted to return via the central Salah ad-Din Road. Following the first week, refugees will be permitted to return to the north via vehicles, which will be inspected by a private company to be determined by the mediators in coordination with Israel. The fact that Qatar is a mediator makes me sick to my stomach. They funded the attack on October 7th. They're the major funding source for Hamas. And they protected the Hamas leadership in Qatar. I don't know this guy. What's his name? Witkoff. I'm sorry. Witkoff. I don't know this guy from a hole in the ground. He's apparently very close to President Trump. I don't like him. He's done business with Qatar. There he is, praising Qatar. You don't praise a terrorist organization that's been funding anti-Semitism in our colleges and universities. Praise them for what? Oh, they've been very good, hard at work. Even if they are, you don't praise them. You don't praise the arsonists for putting out the fire. So I don't know what the hell that's all about. But that's Witkoff. Again, I don't know him. Doesn't matter to me. The Prime Minister of Qatar confirmed that 33 hostages will be released. Wow, where's the others? The women and children first, followed by the female soldiers, then men over the age of 50 and young men who are defined as humanitarian cases. You know what that means? Yeah, we'll give you the young men for a humanitarian gesture. In exchange, Israel will release about 2,000 convicted terrorists. So why do my colleagues at Fox and elsewhere keep talking about hundreds? Thousands! 2,000 convicted terrorists, including about 250 who were sentenced to life imprisonment. In addition, Israel will release about 1,000 terrorists captured after October 7th. That's 3,000, not hundreds, 3,000 terrorists. Something we would never even consider. Just saying. Stick with me. I'll get to the end of this. 9 sick or injured hostages are to be released in exchange for the release of 110 convicted terrorists serving life sentences. They're murderers. Another article said they're actually convicted murderers. But Israel will release them in exchange for 9 sick or injured hostages. Now, in addition to those 3,000, Israel will release another 1,000 from Gaza, all of whom were arrested after October 8th, and none were directly involved on October 7th. No terrorists involved on October 7th will be released in the deal, as previously reported by the Jerusalem Post. Elderly hostages over the age of 50 are being released at a ratio of 27 life sentence prisoners and 31 other prisoners per elderly hostage. You understand? So it's one Israeli life is worth the life of 27 life sentence prisoners and 31 other prisoners. So basically, they're going to be releasing 58 prisoners in exchange for every Israeli who's released over the age of 50. The mediators promised to issue a UN Security Council resolution supporting the declaration of a ceasefire to ensure the parties comply with the agreement. Right. Israel wanted to supervise the Philadelphia corridor. That corridor is key. And Israel lost a lot of men and women fighting to get it. That's where all the arms flow through. This request was rejected. According to foreign media reports, Israel was convinced of the need to withdraw from the area. They had to be convinced, I guess, by this guy, Witkoff. The reports of a withdrawal from the Philadelphia corridor are a complete lie, however, said the prime minister. And it's my understanding that there will be partial Israeli forces in that corridor. And it goes on. Now you know more than anybody else on TV's reporting. The Emir of Qatar announced this so-called final hostage deal. And an influencer in Israel, Rachel Gur, she writes, if there is a clear victor of the Hamas-Israel war, it's Qatar. They nurtured Hamas, creating the horrors of October 7, and then leveraged negotiations over stolen children for political influence and financial gain. And God knows they got both out of this deal. More. Aviva Klumpis. Netanyahu's office said the prime minister will address the public after the deal is sealed and complete, quote-unquote. Here's what you're not hearing. There are some technical hoops to be jumped through. The deal must pass through the security cabinet and full government cabinet. Now, their cabinet's not like ours. It's a mixture of parties. It's a coalescing of parties. And so if you have parties objecting, it could be a problem for Netanyahu. In fact, it could bring down his entire government. He's got everything on the line. The government must also allow time for opponents of the agreement to actually petition the Supreme Court. But I don't think that'll be a problem since the court's radical left. So you have this review process and possible challenges. Those aren't over, despite the misreporting of the media. Basically, what the media are reporting are their own opinions, which is constant. So where does this leave us? As patriotic Americans who support the state of Israel, where does this leave us? I'll discuss this further when we return. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.
I've been watching people genuflect today, write me, call me. Most trying to tell me what a fantastic deal this is. I've been watching some of my fellow conservatives and talk show hosts who don't even know what's in the deal telling us it's a major, major victory. This really is disrespecting audiences. It's disrespecting the intelligence of the American people. It really is. And it's undermining the entire MAGA movement, because you can address this with reason, intelligence, and knowledge and not be a sycophant. A sycophant. And President Trump doesn't want that either. So I watch these guys, mostly. It's embarrassing. I'm not going to name them. I know some of them. Some of them are my buddies. It's embarrassing. My goal is to inform you. give you my opinion, then you'll make your own decision. So here's where I come down on this thing. 3,000 released terrorists. It's pretty damn outrageous. So they better get something big in return for that. 98 hostages, they call them, including those who are dead. If they're dead, they're not hostages anymore. They're dead. Murdered. I don't know how many are alive. And we feel for the families, for God's sakes, we sure do. And we feel for the hostages that are alive and sad. Deeply saddened by those who've been murdered. I want to go through this with you and see what you think. I'll be right back. 3,000 terrorists released. That's a bridge that's very far. Let me put it to you that way. We would never do that. No country would do that. So they better get something big in return for that. I don't think there's any question that the Prime Minister of Israel and his government have come under enormous pressure from both the Biden regime and this guy Witkoff and perhaps others representing Donald Trump. Now that can be good and that could be bad depending on the kind of pressure. I don't have any firsthand knowledge whatsoever. I've not been in touch with any of these people intentionally. Intentionally. But it's obvious that Biden wants a legacy. He's got a legacy. He's a failed, putrid old man. That's his legacy. He says this deal was 7 months old, but notice he couldn't get it across the finish line. But then I understand this isn't really the entire Biden deal, that there were changes made. Okay, great. But there's no question that President Trump wanted this done too. Or he wouldn't send his envoy over there, Witkoff. So it got done. So we look at that. We look at the fact that Hamas is claiming victory. That Biden's claiming victory. That this group CARE, a Hamas front group, a dangerous domestic organization filled with Islamists and jihadists, in my humble opinion, who celebrated October 7th, they're thrilled with this deal. They're claiming victory. What about that? But then I see as I read what's available to us that this is not a permanent ceasefire. This is not a peace treaty of sorts, which, of course, Hamas will violate. They'll immediately start to rearm, I'm sure. Israel is free to go back into Gaza, as well as the IDF soldiers who are already in Gaza, and take care of business. There's nothing that stops them from doing it. In fact, the Philadelphia quarter that was essential, in which they lost a lot of soldiers to take, which is the key quarter through which weapons travel. In fact, Israel will have a presence there. This likely will help initiate an expansion of the Abraham Accords. But I think there needs to be a few other things here from my perspective. The incoming administration needs to make it abundantly clear that they will not pressure Israel for a two-state solution. That is a final solution. That is a final solution. Even if it means Saudi Arabia not becoming a member of the Abraham Accords, even if it's not a formal member, Saudi Arabia needs us more than we need Saudi Arabia. And I don't care who Saudi Arabia is investing in, just like Qatar, they buy people and sell people left and right. We, the American people, are the people who matter. Under this agreement, since both presidents are taking some credit for it, we now have a responsibility, in fact, an obligation, to support Israel if Israel decides it needs to go back at a war footing with Hamas. As a result of withdrawing from large swaths of Gaza. We now have an obligation. Having supported this deal, whoever's deal it is. I think we also have an obligation, and I would urge the Republicans in Congress to do this, to find out exactly the extent of Qatar's, or Qatar, as they now call it, the extent of Qatar's terrorism activities, terrorism funding, anti-Semitic support, both in our country and throughout the world. And with respect to Hamas, we need a report, we need an investigation, we need to know the extent to which Qatar has cost American lives, Israeli lives, and other lives, because they can't have it both ways, and yet it does right now. And I saw Witkoff in his comments today, he was praising Qatar, and I'm going, oh my God, these are the people who harbored Hamas and funded Hamas? Why are we praising Qatar, even if you think they're helpful right now? Why would you do that? Anyway, that's just me. And then I have here from just a few minutes ago, it's a public posting by Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister of Israel. Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu spoke this evening with U.S. President-elect Donald Trump and thanked him for his assistance in advancing the release of the hostages, for helping Israel bring an end to the suffering of dozens of hostages and their families. It's a lot to digest, isn't it, America? If we don't knee-jerk, we're looking at this. What do we make of all this? I make this. Hamas is still a terrorist group. And it survives, at least for now. The hostages, those who are alive, will be released, finally. As will 3,000, not hundreds, 3,000 Palestinian terrorists. Israel will have the freedom to go back into Gaza. And I see this as similar to the so-called ceasefire deal in Lebanon, where Israel has repeatedly gone back into Lebanon to kill the enemy, to blow up their supply chains, to hit Hezbollah, and to hit it hard. I see the same freedom for Israel in doing the same to Hamas. The same way Israel has gone into Syria and hit Syria and gone into Yemen and hit the Houthis. This is not a peace treaty. They just call this a ceasefire, a so-called ceasefire. I think an expansion of the Abraham Accords is a good thing, as long as Saudi Arabia doesn't get its way with a two-state solution. And as I said, that is a red line for me. That's where I say that's enough, enough is enough. The fact that Hamas and Biden and Kerr are claiming victory is annoying as hell, but it's irrelevant. It's irrelevant. I think it's a close call. But then I go back to the beginning. I trust Donald Trump when he tells me in a text that he will protect Israel, because I believe it. I trust Benjamin Netanyahu, the greatest prime minister in the history of Israel, and a great war prime minister, that even regardless of all the immense pressure that's been placed on him, if he's decided to go forward with this, he's not a fool. There's a lot of bad actors in this. Some people who profit from this. Some countries. But that's a nasty neighborhood, the Middle East. It certainly is. I feel very bad for the IDF families that have lost loved ones in the war in Gaza. I truly do. I think the worst part of this is the release of 3,000 terrorists. I think that is a very, very bad thing. So it's not that you're going to find me, if it matters to you at all, being a cheerleader, a pom-pommer for this deal. But you will not find me opening both barrels against it. I'm a skeptic. It's going to happen. We will watch it. We will see what takes place. But I'm also smart enough to know that there's more going on than this. Again, I haven't spoken to anybody. That Israel's primary target is Iran, that they need to take out the Iranian nuclear sites. They need that regime to be changed, to collapse. I suspect that's Netanyahu's perspective as well, and the more conservative members of his government, not all of them, but many of them, in Likud as an example. That they need to face the fact that it's now or never to take out Iran under the Trump alliance. Perhaps that was discussed, perhaps it wasn't, I have no idea. But if Iran collapses, it's hard to see how Hamas survives, quite frankly, or Hezbollah for that matter. Unless, of course, Qatar continues to fund them, and that's why Qatar needs to be investigated by the Republicans in Congress. The associations with Qatar need to be investigated. Who in our country is benefiting from this country, Qatar? How they are sending their resources to influence our colleges and universities and to fund the Hitler Youth in the streets that we see and anti-Semitism in the United States. This has to stop. And rather than praise Qatar, for God's sakes, we need to hold Qatar to account. This insanity has to stop. Now, that said, we will see how this works out as it proceeds. Now, I'm not taking a middle ground. I've given all the information I have and how I'm weighing it. Look, if I had my way, there'd be no deal. The Israelis would be free to finish the job. But there are other countries involved that aren't willing to allow that to happen. And Israel doesn't have its own massive defense industry. It just doesn't. It wishes it did, I'm sure, but it's a little country. It's trying to build up more independence in its industry, in its defense industry, and it's doing it with technology. Its advances in laser technology are second to none. They're even beyond ours. And that will be a game changer, as I've discussed here before. It's public. I'm not giving any secrets. So under these conditions, under these circumstances, we're going to have to watch and see how this plays out. I also want to salute President Donald Trump. Because President Donald Trump wants to advance the cause of liberty and humanity. He absolutely does. Not just in the Middle East, in Southeast Asia, in our own hemisphere. I know him. This is who he is. I'm sure he wanted this deal for his inauguration, but he wanted it for more than that, ladies and gentlemen. I know this from my talking with him, not about this deal. There was no such deal when we spoke. He really does get upset watching what's going on in Ukraine, watching what's going on in the Middle East. And some of these visions stick with him, like the young lady that we all saw in the video. Looked like an IDF female soldier at the breakout of the October 7th slaughter. She was grabbed by the back of her hair. She had blood on her pants, which means she had been raped. And they forcibly forced her into the back of the car. And he always wondered what happened to her. She was murdered. That's what happened to her. And it's bothered him. And it bothers us. He knows Hamas is monstrous. He knows Iran is monstrous. I mean, what the hell? They've been trying to assassinate him. And so we have to trust him and Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu here. Like we could not trust Biden, Blinken. Absolutely not. And while this is an ugly deal, you're dealing with Hamas, so every deal was going to be ugly. Certainly not a perfect deal. In some ways, Trump inherited this from Biden. There's aspects of this I do not like. But that's just me. I'm just a talk show host. But, on the other hand, it will not be me who tries to sink it either. It'll proceed. We'll see what happens. Benjamin Netanyahu is an enormously brave man. This could destroy his government. It is he, not Biden. It is he, nobody else, who's won the war against Hamas and Hezbollah, who's all but destroyed Iran, but was ready to take the extra step, and I hope Trump supports him in that regard, that's for sure, who's taken on the Houthis like nobody else. Netanyahu and the IDF deserve all the credit in the world for what's been taking place up to now. All of it. I'll be right back.
Mark Levin.